Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Scott Dee, director of research for Pipestone Veterinary Services. Welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Joe.
Over the last year and a half or so, you and I have talked a lot about your research with feed ingredients, specifically how they might be able to give a free ride to some viruses coming into this country. But even more important, I mean, you've gotten to a point in your research where you know which viruses can come in on which different feed ingredients, and we can talk a little bit about that, but you've also been focused on what you call mitigants to mitigate this problem. And I guess they're not just different products that could be used or types of products, but also different management practices. Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about your research with mitigants?
Well, first, as always, we need to recognize the Swine Health Information Center, Dr. Paul Sundberg. They funded the first survival project that we've discussed and has allowed us to kind of focus on which are the high-risk ingredients and the high-risk viruses. So we've learned that now, and they've come forward with more funding now to understand what can we do to that feed ingredient as it's traveling through our simulated model to take the titer or the quantity of virus from a set amount down to as low as we can possibly go, hopefully ground zero eventually. And so that's been a project that we've just finished up at South Dakota State University under the guidance of Dr. Diego Diel. So he's led the project. I just kind of helped get it organized. And here at the Layman Conference, we're going to talk about some of the preliminary data.
And let's be clear, I mean, it's not all feed ingredients that are vectors for these viruses. I believe it was soybean meal, vitamin D, choline.
Right.
I may have omitted one or two.
Yes, we looked at several soy products, several vitamins, amino acids. We looked at several different kinds of pet food. We looked at pork sausage casings, complete feed itself, and then the respective controls, ingredients that we bring in from China and Eastern Europe on a regular basis to the United States. We wanted to select ingredients that were representative of what actually comes in.
So when we talk about mitigants, what types of compounds are you looking at?
Yeah, we're looking at feed additives, not so much in this case a mitigation strategy like heating. You know, we're looking at a physical type of an approach. We're looking at more what could we add to the feed that would be safe still for consumption, but would have a detrimental effect on the virus itself. And the American Feed Institute Association, AFIA, helped us with this. They went out and kind of canvassed their membership and looked for companies that had either products on the market already or prototypes that they were interested in testing, again, using our Trans-Pacific model. So we got 10 different products, very unique chemistry profiles, and we put them to work at South Dakota State to see what they could do.
And what are you learning?
Well, overall, we really had a nice batch of chemistry, I should say. We had formaldehyde products, we had acid products, essential oils, antioxidants, many different things, medium chain fatty acid blends of different shapes and forms. And so the nice thing about it, of the 10 products, they were all very different. So we didn't have a lot of repetition, which is a good thing. We had 10 different candidates. So what have we learned? From the 10 we started with, about 5 have made the cut. 5 showed that if they started with this amount of virus and we added the mitigant, by the end of the 37-day model, we had reduced the titer, or the quantity, from say 10 to the 5 down to 10 to the 2 or 10 to the 1. So we learned some have potential. We learned nothing sterilizes the feed. There isn't one silver bullet you can throw in there and completely negate all virus. And so that's an important thing to learn. We learned that some of these are already on the market for other purposes, so performance, and so that's a good thing because they're already ready to go.
So they've cleared the hurdle.
They've cleared the hurdle.
FDA mm-hmm. already.
They don't have a claim for viral mitigation, but they've got an FDA certified claim for something else. And then there are several options that are still in development, which are encouraging as well, that would give us possible candidates down the road as well. So it was nice to see that some of them actually worked, and that we've got some of them that we could actually use right away.
What have you learned about the storage of these feed ingredients, yeah. and whether it be with or without a mitigant? Does storage seem to reduce the presence of a virus over time?
Yes. So the storage concept is very important because, as I mentioned, at least none of the mitigants we tested took us to ground zero. My goal was to go from five logs to ground zero, zero. So from that, we started thinking, well, what else could we do to the feed ingredients once it's arrived, so to speak, to take us down to that level? And the thought was, why don't we simply store it? Because we know that over time, viral load that we've demonstrated in our studies will continue to decay under the concept of half-life. So it's a very well-validated concept of half-life, that a specific time, depending on the virus, over time that virus will decay to down to a point where it's basically zero. And so mitigation plus storage gives us kind of a two-pronged approach to handle this and, again, take it from a high level down to almost nothing, which is where we want to go.
But is that true with all of the viruses you looked at? Because I know you've told me that African swine fever is a very stable virus. What have you seen there?
Very stable virus. We calculated its half-life with the help of Dr. Jeff Zimmerman and some of his statistical gurus at Iowa State. And we have a nice half-life metric for many of these different viruses that we've studied. So Seneca, our FMD surrogate, African swine fever, PED, many of these viruses. We now understand how long does it take for the viral load to go from X down to zero, which is a whole new area of opportunity to kind of manage the risk even more closely.
And you think it will be possible to actually bring it down to zero? I know that that's your goal.
That is our goal. Based on the math of half-life, we should be able to. We're still learning. This is preliminary. We've got our data sets right now are, I would say, small. We need to expand them, do more work, which is going on right now. But the initial view into this way of managing feed ingredients, I think, has got quite a bit of promise based on our preliminary data. So I don't want to over-promise, but I want to say I'm pretty enthusiastic about what this could possibly do in combination with mitigation to really get us down to a low level of risk.
But it almost sounds like for this to be successful, it would have to be a global effort.
Definitely. This has to be an effort at least across the United States, across Canada, Mexico, North America. We've got to do this together. It wouldn't make any sense for Pipestone to do this and nobody else do it, right? We're developing the idea and we want to share it with everybody so everybody can follow the plan. They can modify the plan according to their, you know, what they can and can't do, the logistics involved. But we want the concept of responsible imports to be available for everyone to think about and see, oh, okay, how can I make this work for my system, for my company?
Now, we've talked only about imports, but you know, there's a lot of feed manufactured in this country, a lot of feed manufactured on different farms, and that feed gets moved around quite a bit. Could some of these mitigants be useful in trying to reduce the domestic spread of viral diseases?
Definitely. That's excellent thinking. It also could be used, I think, to protect our exports, to treat our, say, our soy products, and then ship them out saying, not only are we delivering you the best product in the world, it's also got some protection on it. So should it get contaminated en route accidentally, it's not just out there naive and unprepared. That might be another way of using the concept of mitigation to protect another important part of our livestock industry.
Is there one feed ingredient in particular that you are concerned about right now in terms of being a vector for viruses?
Yeah. The one consistent finding we've seen in the survival study, as well as even when we mitigate these ingredients and test them over time, for some strange reason, viruses just love soybean meal.
Soybean meal.
It's particularly the high protein, low fat variety. And what's been surprising to me is how much of that product we bring in to the United States from Asia and other countries, which is totally strange in my way of thinking. Since we make the best soy products in the world, why would we bring them in?
Yeah, that's a real surprise, because I think in 2018 we planted more soybeans than corn.
Yeah, we have the best product, we have the best manufacturing. I believe most of it's going to the organic markets. So it's some type of a niche approach. But I think as the industry, we got to step up and say, we don't want that stuff anymore. Why in the world would we bring that in?
And this is going into organic foods.
Yeah, and it's coming into the country. So along with it could come viruses, and then you've got contamination. You know, so to me, it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to continue to bring soy products from other countries, especially countries of high risk, when we've shown time and time again how well many of these viruses actually live in soy-based product.
Would we have to just do more organic soybean production here in the U.S. to fill that gap?
Possibly. I mean, we make the best. Why not continue to meet the need as we've done for so long? That'd be good questions for the Soybean Council. I'm not a farmer by any means, but to me, it just, as a virologist, it doesn't make any sense to take this ingredient that's shown to be a risk, a serious risk, and continue to introduce it to a country which I don't really think needs it.
Well, we'll have to leave it there, but certainly keep a close eye on it. We've been talking to Dr. Scott Dee, Director of Research at Pipestone Veterinary Services. Once again, Scott, thank you.
Thank you.